For a number of weeks now, on Wednesday evenings, we've been studying Matthew chapter 13. And Matthew 13 has seven parables about the kingdom of God. The second, third, fourth, when Jesus gave those parables, he began by saying, the kingdom of heaven is like, the kingdom of heaven is like. And all these parables are to do with the kingdom of heaven. Well, we've looked at those seven parables. And I thought tonight, as a kind of a summary, I would just do an overview of the seven parables and pick out some of the more important lessons from those parables, as a kind of an overview of the main lessons that we learn from those parables. So this evening, that's what we're doing, main lessons from these seven parables. And there are four things that I want to bring to your attention from these seven parables, four things about the kingdom of God. The first is this: the kingdom of God is a worldwide kingdom. The kingdom of God is a worldwide kingdom. You have in this parable the sower going out to sow seed. In the next parable, again, it's a parable of a sower, the wheat and the tares. And when Jesus gave the explanation for that parable, the second one, the wheat and the tares, he says that this sower went out into the field. And in his explanation of the parable, he says, the field is the world. And it was a challenge, as it were, to his listeners. Because remember, these parables were spoken to Jewish people. The people whom he taught at this time were Jewish people. And the Jewish people had this idea that the kingdom of God is Israel. And in the Old Testament, it was so. The chosen people, the kingdom, were Israel. But Jesus, in these parables, challenges that and says, well, that's how it was in the Old Covenant. But the Old Covenant is about to come to an end. And a new covenant is about to begin. And that, of course, happened at his death and his resurrection. Because at his death and his resurrection, he fulfilled the Old Covenant. The Old Covenant, with its law, was pointing to Christ. You had the sacrifices of the Old Covenant, and they were all pointing to Christ. And you had the priesthood of the Old Covenant, and that was pointing to Christ. And Christ's death as the once-for-all sacrifice fulfilled the Old Covenant. And the New Covenant begins with his death and his resurrection, and then the coming of the Holy Spirit. And here Jesus, in these parables, tells his disciples, well, that's how it's been in the Old Covenant, but not any longer. The New Covenant is going to be a worldwide covenant. And here in this, particularly the second parable, the field is the world. But all the parables have this indication. The last parable we looked at, the net being cast into the sea, this wide net that goes out and catches fish of all kind. Or the merchant who knows about a pearl of great price and travels everywhere to pick this pearl of great price. And Christ, in a sense, saying his kingdom is a worldwide kingdom. Well, praise God for this. We here are in Clevedon in the 21st century. And we praise God that God has placed us in Clevedon. And we are witnesses here in Clevedon. And we seek to live lives for him and honor him. But then you look at other parts of Britain, of course, and God's people are there. And then you go beyond Britain into Europe, and God's people are there. And you go beyond Europe into Eastern Europe and into the Far East, and God's people are there. And you go south into Africa, and God's people are there. And you go west into the United States and southwest to South America, and God's people are there. What a tremendous thing this is, that God's kingdom is not confined to one region, one geographical area. But God's kingdom is a worldwide kingdom. We belong to a worldwide family. I'm sure you've had the kind of experiences that I've had. You travel to a part of the world perhaps you've never been to before, and it's the Lord's Day, and you go to church. And there is something there, isn't there? You're meeting with God's people, and they belong to Christ. They love Christ. The Holy Spirit of God lives in them. And you love Christ, and the Holy Spirit of God lives in you. And your conversation is not like the kind of conversation you have in the tourist office. They're very decent, they're very kind, the people in the tourist office, and they give you all the help. But it's a very superficial kind of conversation. They may even show some interest, and they may say to you, where have you come from? And so on. But you go to a church, and your conversation with a fellow Christian is at a totally different level. It's at a deeper level. You have experiences of God, and they have experiences of God. And even if the language barrier is there, you're still able to communicate as much as possible wonderful things about God, because the kingdom of heaven is worldwide. We're going to pray this evening for ourselves, but we're also going to pray for God's work worldwide. Well, let's keep this in mind. It is a worldwide kingdom. The second lesson I want to draw from these parables is this, that the kingdom of heaven, or the kingdom of God, is a growing kingdom. The kingdom of God is a growing kingdom. It is a worldwide kingdom, but it is also growing. And this is seen particularly in that parable of, or those parables of, the mustard seed and the yeast. You remember we looked at those parables, and that parable, those parables particularly spoke about growth. When Jesus said, the kingdom of heaven is like the mustard seed, which is the smallest of your seeds, but then it grows into the largest of your trees, and the birds of the air come and build their branches on it. And so he's speaking about the growth of the kingdom in physical size. And we must always be conscious of this, that in some part of the world, the church is growing. In other parts, yes, it might be very static or even declining. But in some part of the world, indeed more than one part, in various parts of the world, the church is growing. And the kingdom is, there's a net growth. The kingdom of God isn't going to face a net decline. It's never going to be the case that every country in the world, the church is in decline. And every country in the world, churches are closing down. And every country in the world, fewer and fewer are becoming Christians and fewer conversions. That's not going to happen. Yes, there are countries where the church seems to be in a greater struggle, certainly. And they don't see as many conversions, yes. But then you read the reports of other parts of the world and how encouraging it is to do that. And you read reports of Africa, you read reports of Iran, you read reports of the Far East, and you read of growth. Now, I know statistics are never to be fully relied on, but something is happening. I remember the Times newspaper. This is the Times newspaper, a very secular, really anti-Christian, certainly anti-evangelical newspaper. This is going back some years, ran an article about the growth of the evangelical church in Iran. And it certainly wasn't having a go at the evangelicals. It was actually a very balanced article, simply pointing out to the readers that the church, the evangelicals in Iran are growing at a large, at a fast speed. And I believe that growth is still going on. We certainly see growth in Africa, and we certainly see growth in the Far East. Various parts of the world, the church is growing. God is at work. The Spirit of God is at work. And the Spirit of God is raising up preachers. And the Spirit of God is blessing the preaching of His Word. And the Spirit of God is convicting sinners. And the Spirit of God is converting sinners. and those who at one time were in their sins are coming into the kingdom of God, repenting, trusting in Jesus, born again by the Spirit of God, becoming members of the worldwide church of Christ. The kingdom is a growing kingdom. So let's not become discouraged. Let's remember the church, the work of God worldwide. The kingdom of God is a growing kingdom. The third lesson that I want to bring out from these parables, we've seen that the kingdom is a worldwide kingdom. We've seen that the kingdom is a growing kingdom. Thirdly, from these parables, the kingdom of God is a precious kingdom. It is a precious kingdom. And I'm taking this from, again, those two parables that we looked at a few weeks ago, the parable of the hidden treasure and the parable of the pearl of great price. And you remember when we looked at those parables, there was this common theme there. The man is out working on the farm and he comes across hidden treasure. And he sells everything he has in order to acquire this treasure. He sees its value. He sees that what he has found is not something of little value. It's not something that's, well, if you have it, it's good. If you don't have it, it doesn't matter. He realizes what he has found is of tremendous value and is willing to sell everything that he holds in order to possess this treasure. And then you have the parable of the pearl of the great price, and you have this merchant. And he goes around looking for pearls, and he's an expert. And he looks at pearls, and he finds a pearl. And it's the most beautiful thing he's ever seen. He examines it and examines it, and he can't find any fault in it. It's a magnificent pearl. Now, he's a wealthy man. You get the impression he's a merchant. He's been dealing in pearls. He's quite obviously a wealthy man. But he's willing to sell all his possessions, willing to give up all his possessions in order to have this one pearl. And Jesus told those parables to remind us what a wonderful thing it is to belong to the kingdom of God. I wonder if you sometimes become discouraged. I wonder if you become despondent about how things are. You just become flat and you feel low because, well, COVID is here, lockdown is here, we can't see our family, our families won't be able to visit us over Easter again. Last year it happened, this year is going to happen again. And I guess there is a temptation to become discouraged about these things. Well, you know that hymn, "Count your blessings, name them one by one, and it will surprise you what God has done." Because when you count your blessings, you're reminding yourself that what you have from God is wonderful. It is of infinite value. I mean, imagine tonight, if none of us was a Christian, we would be in our sin. God would be our enemy. The anger of God would rest upon us. The judgment of God would be awaiting us. Hell would be awaiting us. We would have no peace in our hearts and minds. We wouldn't know what it is to know the love of God. There would be no love of God. We might have decent lives in worldly terms. We might have the possessions of the world and the pleasures of the world. But what are the pleasures of the world? Well, they're just the passing pleasures of sin. No forgiveness of sin. No knowledge of God as Father and Christ as Savior. No hope of heaven. But what a tremendous thing it is to be a Christian. We belong to God's kingdom. And God has sent his Son into the world for us. Jesus came for us. And Jesus came because he loves us. And Jesus came full of grace. And Jesus died on the cross of Calvary for us. He took our sins upon himself when he died. And he paid our penalty. He cleared our debt. He shed his blood that we might know redemption from slavery to sin. We're no longer slaves of sin. And the anger of God has been propitiated. It has been turned aside. God's anger no longer rests upon us. And we are now the adopted children of God. When Jesus taught his disciples to pray, he said, when you pray, say, for our Father who art in heaven. You know, that's a tremendous thing, that we come to God and we say, our Father. These aren't just empty words. This is not just vacant sentimentalism. This is biblical truth. God is our Father. And you know what it says in Psalm 103? As a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. Isn't that lovely? Many of you here are parents. You know how you feel about your children. You love your children. You have compassion upon your children. And it says, just as you fathers have compassion upon your children, so your Father in heaven has compassion upon those who fear him. The blessings of salvation. My friends, don't get discouraged. Don't become dispirited. The devil will always try to make us discouraged. And the devil will always bring all kinds of thoughts that make us dispirited and feel low. And we have to fight that. We are to put on the armor of God. We are to take up the shield of faith. And we are to say, yes, there's much that could discourage me, but I will have faith in God. And I will trust God because he is my Father. And I will trust the Lord Jesus Christ. And I will count my blessings, how many blessings God has poured upon us. We've met this evening. Isn't this lovely? That as Christians, we've met this evening. God has given us technology. And God has given us the means to meet. And God has given us his word. We can read his word. We can study his word. We can draw nourishment, encouragement from his word. And then we're about to sing praises to God. Isn't that lovely? To be able to sing, what a great gift that is, that God has given us songs that we can sing of praise to him. And then we're going to come to God in prayer. And we're going to pray for ourselves. We're going to pray for members of the church. We're going to pray for Christians worldwide. What a tremendous blessing that is to pray. All these wonderful blessings that God has given us. So the kingdom of God is a precious kingdom. It is full of blessings that God has granted us graciously in Christ. So we've seen that the kingdom of God is a worldwide kingdom. We've seen that it's a growing kingdom. We've seen that it's a precious kingdom. And then fourthly and finally, the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God. I was trying to put this in a way that explained what I was trying to say. But what I'm trying to say is it is a heavenly kingdom. And what I mean by that is that it is the only way to heaven. And I was thinking here particularly of the last parable, the parable of the net. And you remember this parable, the fishermen go out and they cast the net. And then Jesus says, it brings in all kinds of fish, but then they separate the good from the bad, and the good fish they keep, and the bad fish they throw back in. And Jesus talks about separation. He talks about that separation in the second parable, the wheat and the tares. And he says, there's a man who's got this field, and he goes and plants in his field wheat. But then when at night everybody is asleep, an enemy comes and plants weeds, plants tares. And when they begin to grow, the servants say to him, didn't you plant wheat? Well, what are these tares doing here? And he said, an enemy has done this. And they say, well, shall we go and pluck them up? And he says, no, leave them. And Jesus says, at the end of the age, the Lord will send his angels and they will gather in his people, but cast out the unbelievers into outer darkness. There is that separation. And it is the message of these parables that there is one and only one way of salvation, forgiveness of sin, entry into heaven, Christ. He alone is the only way of salvation and the forgiveness of sin and a place in heaven. We have Christ and we've put our faith in him. We have trusted him and him alone. We know him and love him and walk with him, and he alone is our hope. We don't trust in our works. We don't trust in our religion, in our church attendance, in our baptism. We don't trust in any of that. We don't trust in our religious works. Only Jesus Christ. And so we say, he alone is my hope. Well, that's the way of salvation. Then we have forgiveness of sin. And it's a stark reminder that there are many, many out there who have no knowledge of Christ. They might be very nice people. They might be very friendly, very decent, very helpful to their neighbors. But they don't have Christ. And then God isn't going to say, well, were you a nice person? Were you a decent, moral person? Were you kind to your neighbor? That doesn't count. Did you believe in Jesus Christ? Did you repent of your sin? And did you put your faith in Jesus Christ? Did you trust Jesus Christ alone for your place in heaven? That's the question, you see. So there is this separation, the wheat and the tares, the good fish and the bad fish. The kingdom of God is a heavenly kingdom. It is the only way for us to enter into heaven. So just a summary of Matthew 13, the seven parables and four lessons. I'm sure there could be many others, but I thought I'd bring four main things from it. The kingdom of God is a worldwide kingdom. The kingdom of God is a growing kingdom. The kingdom of God is a precious kingdom. And the kingdom of God is a heavenly kingdom. It is the only way for us to enter heaven. Well, may the Lord remind us of these things, particularly when we come to prayer, because it would be good to remember we are children of God, and worldwide we are members of God's kingdom, and we need to pray for our brothers and sisters worldwide and pray for the growth of his kingdom.